missionary. But I said, I'll pray about it. And I go, I'll pray about it every day. And I did. And for like 6 months, I said, Lord, I don't want this, but I want your will in my life. And around the 6 month mark, I'd given birth by this time, our son. And I heard the Lord, I was washing dishes, and I heard the Lord say, I'm calling you to overseas missions. And I was all, whoa. So when Bob got home that night, I was like, honey, I have news for you. Let's get the kids to bed. So
I was very excited. So we went to our pastor and said, God really has called us to overseas missions. And he said, well, it'd be great if you guys went on our outreach to Romania. Our church had been on a previous outreach where they had a summer camp for orphans in Bucharest. And so he said, you guys should go on this. So we went to the training that our church had for, what was it, 13 weeks?
It was 19 weeks.
19 weeks.
It was intense, amazing missions training class.
And we thought, this is kind of crazy for our entire family to go on this outreach. And we had three little kids at the time. The oldest was, what, 9?
Yeah, and I was still nursing Josiah, and it was going to be like $6,000 for all of us to go, and we just thought that was kind of a waste, like a huge waste of money for us all to go. Like, how effective could a family be on a 10-day outreach?
But the family was effective, and God provided all the money for us to go to the penny, and then provided no more. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So we went to Romania on the outreach, and it was exhausting and exciting and a blessing. And the folks that led the trip wanted to have their own camp, because we were having this camp for orphans at a place where there was a disco going until the early hours of the morning. And there's all kinds of other distractions to the gospel. So they came to us and they said, we'd like you guys to be caretakers of the camp that we'd like to build here in Romania. So this was in July? September?
This would have been in July.
July. So by February, we were back in Romania.
Full-time. Sold our house, our cars, gave away a lot of stuff, and it was actually January 31st the day we flew to Romania with our, at that time, 3 kids.
And so we were there for 7 years. We worked with orphans, we worked with kids on our street, we worked with street kids, had teams over to have camps for the orphans. It was really a blessing. And during that time, we adopted 3 Romanian boys.
Yeah, we, on our first, we, and actually the boys that we wind up adopting were all boys that we had met in that first 2-week trip. And our son, Kosi, when Bob met him, and we actually tried to start adopting him during that 2-week trip. But Bob tells people that, you know, I never believed that love at first sight until I met Kosti. And he's, and now we have what? We have 3 grandchildren with Kosti, and they're in the process of adopting a little girl in Romania.
So while we're in Romania, I really felt that God was calling us to Turkey, because I really wanted to go where the gospel was less preached, to a non-Christian country. And I really felt that place was Turkey. And so while we were in Romania, I made several trips with other guys into Turkey to see what God had for us there. And during, so on the third trip I made in, the guys wanted to go to North Iraq, because we went to the far east of Turkey. And I didn't tell my wife that we were going to Iraq, because there was war in the country at the time.
Yeah, so I don't remember. He just wanted to, this is 2 weeks before his trip. He's like, oh, hey, I don't know if I told you, but we're going into Iraq on this trip. And I'm like, no, you didn't tell me. And we were, I mean, America was at war with Iraq at the time. And I wanted to say, you're not going. But before I could say anything, I was just overcome with this peace like I had never experienced in my life. And I just said, honey, you're going.
And so went to Turkey, went into Iraq. And it wasn't easy to get in, but we eventually were able to get into the country after a couple days. And God really laid it on my heart that this is where he wanted us to go, that the doors were open for ministry in the country. And it seemed to be what God would have me do. So I went home and I said, I've got news. God is calling us to North Iraq.
Yeah, and when he was on that trip, I was at home because we really thought it was Turkey. And during that time he was gone, the Lord spoke to me and said, Teresa, it's not Turkey, it's Iraq. And part of, we were like, what the heck? Lord, what was all this? It's Turkey. But Bob pointed out that we weren't ready for Iraq. And so that was the Lord's way of getting us in that direction where he wanted us to be.
It was really amazing the way that God removed my desire to go to Turkey. I mean, I wanted nothing to do with Turkey. It was a burden just to get through the country. And it was so relaxing when you arrived in North Iraq and the Kurdish people would serve you tea at the customs office and welcome you to the country. They were very warm and friendly to visitors. It was really, really so nice after being in Turkey where they just wanted to take your money.
Yeah.
So in Iraq, we served at a Christian school. I did a number of different things. Our family did a number of different things there. My daughters took classes there. They taught. They read English books to the elementary school kids. I taught biology. I taught humanities. I did IT work for them. I did handyman work for them. We were there for 14 years. But God removed our calling from that, and the church, the school was going one way, and we didn't like the way it was going, so we were looking for another place to serve or come back to the States. And God opened up a door for us to go to Turkey.
Yeah, so anytime the Lord would move us, there would be this feeling. And like leaving Romania, there's a whole cool story with how the Lord did that in us. But it was difficult. And then here we are, we're in Iraq, and we know you start to feel that feeling again, like the Lord saying it's time to move on. And there was about a year process of just, you know, you feel it, and you start to mourn. Because, first of all, being on the mission field for that many years, it unfortunately starts to become part of your identity. You identify, I'm a missionary. If we go back to the States, who are we? We don't know who we are as Americans, as people living in the States. And so there was that process. And yeah, we've always had this love-hate relationship with Turkey. And I think part of it was the Lord, because when we thought it was Turkey and he showed us it wasn't, there was this hate in my heart build up for Turkey. We did a lot of traveling through Turkey, and someone had mentioned, hey, maybe Turkey will be the place you go for a while after Iraq. And I was all, no, you know. And then we get one email from our director, who's out here out of Nashville, our sending organization. And I read this email, and I'm weeping, and I'm shaking, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to Turkey. And I immediately, all that feeling that I had towards the country of Turkey gone, and I was in love with Turkey in a moment. It's just amazing.
Yeah. So we've served at a Christian conference center in Turkey for about a year, just doing maintenance, trying to get the place up to speed. It had been slightly neglected, and after we were there for a year, we realized that it was going, that us and the Christian conference center were going in different directions, and we had health issues, so it was time to come back to the States. Anyway, we just want to encourage you to not, I mean, I'm a machinist, she's a homemaker, and we've been able to serve the Lord in foreign missions for 21 years, and there's no reason why that should happen except God's grace. So don't limit God, and if you really feel God is calling you to missions, go ahead and go for it.
Yeah.
And that's what we had to say.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for sharing. I appreciate that. Let's pray for them, shall we? Father God, we're just so grateful and thankful to be able to hear from Bob and Teresa and the work that you did in their lives. And God, how that can communicate to us the needs that are in our communities and the things that you'll put upon our hearts. And so, God, I pray that we would be open to your will, just like they've shared. These weren't easy decisions for them to make, but Lord, you brought the peace when your will was revealed to them. And so we pray the same thing for us, Lord. Continue to bless Bob and Teresa, bless their lives, bless their time here in Nashville, and continue to use them, Lord, because to me, we're all missionaries. We're all being called into this world to spread the light and the good news of Jesus Christ. So thank you for them. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, guys. No, appreciate that. I think the one thing I took from that story is like, when you feel like, oh, no, Lord, that would never be me. That could be the Lord speaking to you. So I know most of you are in here like, nah, that'll never be me. God may use you. God may use you. Well, Suzelle, it's your time. We're excited to have you here. So why don't you come on up and share all the amazing things that the Lord has done through you. Would you give Suzelle a nice hand? Welcome. She loves doing this stuff.
She told me this morning this is her least favorite thing about this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
He said, you're scared, you are not scared. I think when you are going to Haiti, people are scared. When I'm coming here, I'm scared. Which one is good? I don't know. What the Lord has done? Oh, he's being faithful. In the verse he gave me for this year is Psalm 96, verse 1 to 3. Sing to the Lord in your song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nation. His marvelous deed among all people. And I have to tell you, he has been doing marvelous thing where I am. You have heard about Haiti, what is going on? Killing people, kidnapping people. That's what we are hearing every day. But he put us in a bubble where we are. We are safe where we are, but we can't buy anything. We can't go to Port-au-Prince to buy food. That's where we used to buy food. That's where we used to do those things. But I have to tell you, it was the hardest year we had, and it was the best one because of his faithfulness. All the year began. When we get back to Haiti last year, we opened the school. A lot of kids were sick. They couldn't. One of the teachers said, we have to send that boy to the doctor. And when we send him to the doctor, and he said, he's going to die if you don't take care of him. We began to feed him. Even when there is no school, we bring him home. We feed him every day, and we send him home with school. And we have prayed. We asked Elnod, was as sick as Chenley. And one day after Erland went to the doctor, they put him in IV, they put her in IV, and I said, one day she came back to school, I said, Erland, between Friday and Monday, how many meal you have? She said, sometimes none. Sometimes we have one meal over the weekend. And that's when we began to pray about what should we do. And we call, we pray, and we said we had to give some food to go home on Friday. And we see miracle after miracle. In Luke 11:19, Jesus said, it's not anybody else, Jesus said, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. The one who seeks, find. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. He said that, but it depends on what you are asking for. Because in James, he said, when you are praying, when you are asking, if it's about your desire, if it's not according to his will, it's not going to happen. But when we pray, we receive money for a week to give the kids food to take home. And I don't know what happened. I can't tell you what happened. The kids were able to bring food home for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And one day I was picking the bag and I told them, I am picking the bag, but it's only by faith I'm picking the bag. We don't have any money. We don't have any food. At 9 o'clock that day, someone called me. what is going on in your life? I said, I'm fine. Do you have food? I said, yes, I have food, but the kids doesn't have food. And she said, oh, I am not home. I can't send you any money. And her friend said, I'm going to give you $100 to send to her. And so someone was with her said, $100, and we have food. And I have seen that every single day this year. Last year when I came, there was COVID, and I couldn't do any fundraising except for the Ghost Scramble and speaking here. We didn't have any fundraising at all. But before I came, the Lord told me, be still and know that I'm the Lord. That's all I have. And I have that wing. Be still and know that I'm the Lord. And we have been, since then, we get home, and we didn't have money to pay. We didn't have money to do anything. But you know, every time the Lord showed himself big in at Lakai Timon. And I can tell you that Chenley, the little boy, is doing very well. When we gave the report card, he was for the fourth higher grade from his class of 28 students. And Haiti is still struggling. We have an exodus. Doctors are leaving, teachers are leaving, everybody, they are leaving. They can't live in Haiti. We used to get our food from Port-au-Prince, we can't. On July 1st, last Saturday, the UN Secretary General stated, Haiti urgently needs more humanitarian aid as poverty deepens and starvation cases spike. Gangs are preventing the movement of goods and people and controlling access to water, food, and healthcare. People can't go to the doctor. You can't go to the hospital. That's the way it is. But the Lord is faithful. MFI used to send our thing from MFI to Port-au-Prince, and you just go, you pick it up, and you're done. But now we have to send it to Pignon, a city closer to us. But custom is killing us. But you know, through it all, Christ is doing his job. I am not doing anything. I just sit and see his work. We began under an avocado tree in April 2016. With 19 children, one volunteer. In August, we will have 185 kids. We have a staff of 26, and except for four people in that staff, none have a job before they come to Lakai Timon. We went from a temporary shack building that Pastor Ajay would like to bring down, but is still standing strong. Because when we built that thing, they said, oh, it's going to last you 1 year, and it's been 7 years. It's still standing. We have two beautiful buildings, modern toilet, kitchen with running water. And one of the things that you said, the mission. You know, mission is faith against fear. That's all it is. You don't know where you are going. We don't know what you are doing, but the Lord tell you to go. You go, and he will take care of you. When I was moving back to Haiti, I told him, if I die, it's my time to go. Nobody can kill me before my time. I am not going to die 1 second before it's my time to go. And then what else? Death is again. Being in heaven without body aches, that's all I want. And he give you ears to hear. And the only way you can see the power of God is through obedience. If you don't obey him, you won't see it. And the mission team we have, they have built playground, pavilion, picnic table. We have some problem building the pavilion. I put the works on the wrong place, but it was the right place for the Lord. Kitchen with running water, pouring concrete, shelves, bridge. And, you know, those tub, we used to put them out, take them out every day, fill them, bring them out. Now we don't have to do that. We are joined. We have everything that we need. And sometimes when you go on a mission trip, like you were saying, it's not about what you are good at. It's about what the Lord wants to accomplish through you. Maybe a smile, a hug, playing with the kids, praying with a sick person. That's all the Lord is asking. And that will be your testimony to the people, to everybody. And he may use a gift. I saw, while I am in Lakai Timon, I saw healing through prayers. We saw nurses using armor like a stethoscope, preacher using the armor like a Bible, concrete foreman became carpenter, strong men crying like baby or screaming for spider. But if the Lord call you to go, don't delay. Don't delay. And your perspective in life will change for good. What you think is important won't be important anymore. But just focus on what the Lord is asking you to do, because nothing is impossible to God. Last year, if the mission team, this year, if the mission team, they were listening at what people are saying, the news are saying, they wouldn't go. But one time they weren't feeling unsafe or in trouble. And that's the way the Lord worked in. And sometimes we say, we have 26 staff, we pay for the staff, you pay for the staff. But I can tell you, they go above and beyond what they are called to do. If a missionary has a knee problem, they got a spa. And they take care of the kids. The cook is sometimes she's taking off wounded kid, if they have fever, shower, everything that they have to do. And it's all you are paying for. You are not paying for only what they are doing, but they are in a mission too as well, because you don't have to go far away to go on a mission. And I always say, look for the neighbor, the Lord will call you to help. But we cover physical need. We provide meal, education, medical assistance. This year, we have more kids sick than any other year. It's because their parents can't buy food. A lot of things can't happen. But we were able to do 220 breakfast meal in the morning, 220 glass of milk at recess, and in the afternoon, about 300 to 350 meal. Because it's not only the kids at the school that we feed. As soon as, sometimes it's 10 o'clock, kids begin to sit outside the gate, and we will serve the meal at 2 o'clock, they will sit to have the meal, because that's the way it is now. And you can see older people coming to eat as well. And medical assistance. We had some kids who couldn't read, they couldn't learn, they have learning difficulty. We find out that they couldn't see. Some of them, Erland is blind on one eye. We didn't know that until last week. And they have more tests to do. We have two chicken head. We have two children with a sickle cell disease, and they have to do tests. They have to go to Port-au-Prince. They can't go. We can't do anything, just help them as much as we can. But, you know, I'm talking about food, about all those things. But the best part about Lakai Timon is talking about the Lord, teaching them, because there is darkness. And the only way they can get out of that darkness is through Jesus' light. When I just get here, one of the neighbors, every time I talk to him about Jesus, he said, I don't want to hear about him. I don't have anything to do about him. But this year, we have a children Bible competition for the class, the children of different classrooms. And we have a meeting after that with the parents, and that man stand up and said, that's the best thing you can do for the kids, teaching them the Bible, because we can't. We don't know how to do that. And he said, if you have a kids here, they know the Bible. A lady who retired from the state came. She's on her 70. She said, I want to know the Bible like your kids. And now she's praying every day. Every time I call her, she said, I'm praying. It's not only about the kids. It's about everybody. It's about what is going on in the community. One of the things that we find out, when we were there, people were fighting all the time in the area when we just came. Now, we don't have any fight. We don't have any fight. People respect the school. They respect they know that the Lord is at work. Children are talking about their family, about the Lord. And that's what we want. Jesus always take care of the physical need, but he always teach before he feed. And that's what we want, that the children will be fed. When we have our exam, Bible exam, because they have to get grade, and you can ask, I asked, one of the exam was, what is the greatest commandment? And who tell you where you can find it? They will tell you. What is the 25th book in the New Testament? They will tell you. They know the Bible. If you are praying, if you are sick, what other name you can call God? They will tell you. They know their verse. Because you know why? When you grow up, you won't forget about it. When I was a kid, I went to a vacation Bible school, and they teach about the parable of the sower. Yes. And I always remember that. It stayed with me, and that's what I want. Last time we talked, I told them, I am not even talking about the needs we have. We have needs, but I told them, and that's what I want. When Jesus was coming, the angel praised him. We weren't there. We weren't born. When Jesus was going to Jerusalem, Palm Sunday, we weren't there. We weren't born. But there will be another day in Revelation where we will have to be there. Will you be there with me? Will you be there at that last appointment, praising the Lord? And that's what I want for my kids. It's not about getting more kids, getting more. It's about getting people to know the Lord in that community. We still have needs. We still need supplies. But you can go to our website. You can go to the Gulf Scramble. You will know what is going on. But the Bible, the Word of God, is teach everywhere we go. That's what we want.